Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 100. No.
Oh, come on now.
Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 201 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
Here we are remotely. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to be back to a normal podcast that isn't, you know, episode 200. So I'm good. I'm happy, healthy.
Yeah. Are you healthy? That's good. Because winter, there's all sorts of bugs and flus and colds.
Yeah,
and
you're traveling all over the world. Like, you're probably picking up a load of stuff. I won't be.
I imagine I'm bringing all sorts of
bed bugs home.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm kind of multiple patient zeros probably going home. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, episode 200, right? That was released 9 days ago. It feels like it was released a month and a half ago.
Yeah. No, do you know what's worse?
What's that?
I think we are in Dusseldorf this month.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, the first weekend of December.
Does that not feel crazy? That was like 11 days ago.
That doesn't... I think there's something... There's some sort of time warp has happened.
Yeah. I'm feeling the, like, post-Christmas no day is a real day thing, but it's early December.
Yes. Yeah. The kind of Christmas reality distortion field has extended beyond its usual.
It's gone insane. Maybe that's what life is like at 200-plus episodes.
Maybe that's what happens. After 200, they all start to blend together.
Or maybe it's you catching all this air mileage.
Could be.
Could be anything. I don't know. But it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. I miss you.
Yeah. Well, same to you, of course. I miss podcasting.
Yeah. I miss you. Might as well say that to his dear friend. That's terrible.
I like that you said it again. Like, almost like, yeah, but you didn't say it back the first time.
Yeah, no, of course. We'll talk off air. We'll talk off air about that. You're not getting away with that.
Thank you to everyone who gave us feedback on episode 200. People seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, a bit of fun. It was a joke, if anyone didn't fully comment. Some of it was a joke.
Some of it was very real.
Very real. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, thanks. There was one YouTube comment that really made us laugh, which we couldn't tell. In the spirit of episode 200, we couldn't tell if the comment was real or not.
Yeah, it didn't make me laugh. I wasn't. I felt like it was real. And I said,
I would say I was.
You laughed and said, that's not real, is it? That wasn't serious. That was
part of it. I was thrilled by it. I was just like, look at this. Look what he's written.
Yeah.
You know. I took it to heart. But don't take it to heart.
No, I said, you know what? Maybe he's right. Although,
but that's the problem. You get, you know, a whole load of
most positive. Of different. Yeah, a lot of people said this is brilliant. And one person said, this is not for me.
Yeah,
but he was nice. I thought he was nice. I thought it was real, and I thought he was nice.
Do you know what it was like? It was like a resignation letter.
Yeah, it was like, to be honest, I've been on this train for a while. It's brilliant, but I think I've outgrown the train. I'm out of here.
Yeah,
but that was fine. I was like, yeah.
The idea to
you said, I don't think it's real. I thought that was just denial. I thought you were like, no, it's impossible.
No, I didn't know if like because I just thought who would take the time to announce I'm no longer listening to this podcast. And here are the reasons why.
Yeah, but like maybe he genuinely just felt, boys, to be honest, I was here. I was almost, that's almost respectful to announce it. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know, but it's just like, it's
took you aback.
It took me aback. I just loved it. Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Well, listen, I think episode 200 was good fun. Shout out to Ross, your dear friend Ross, for helping us out with that. That was brilliant. Yeah. People loved it.
Updates on the Dublin Card Show.
Yeah, we announced Topps as the headline sponsor. Got a lot of buzz here in Ireland. Like, they do sponsor a lot of shows in the UK and Germany. But in Ireland, that has never happened before. And it did get the Irish people super excited. They felt like, now it's showtime. Now it's the big leagues. And it's like, that's kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring the hardcore hobby to Ireland and to get the hardcore hobby heads in Ireland getting the same experience that we've seen everyone else having and we've had in the UK, in the US, and in Germany, among other places, of course. So that was exciting. So shout out to Topps. Thank you so much for being the headline sponsor of the Dublin Card Show.
It's now officially Topps presents the Dublin Card Show.
Sorry, Topps presents the Dublin Card Show on the 24th of February, 2024. Yeah. We have a lot more announcements. We have more sponsors to announce. We have more things to announce. We're getting excited. I just had all the leaflets made. January is very much going to be our promotion month.
Yep.
Right now we're crossing T's, dotting I's. Getting excited about it. We have over 50% of the tables sold, which is super fun.
Yeah,
amazing. Humbled by that, delighted by that. And I'm buzzing. I'm excited for the day. I do have a lot of confidence now, Jason, that it's going to be great. I think everyone there is going to have a good time. A lot of people are excited about it. Yeah. That are messaging me personally, especially the Irish guys, and they're going, this is going to be class. And I'm delighted with that.
It's super exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And I actually think we have some stuff in the... Obviously, we'll be announcing stuff closer today and all that, but we have a few little moving parts within the show are a little bit unique and a little bit kind of...
Bit different,
bit interesting. Mm. So...
We are planning trade night Friday. We're just trying to get the venue locked in. Trade night Friday. A few people are flying in Friday, flying out Saturday night, so we wanted to have the trade night Friday. Probably some mixer on the Saturday, and then probably a bit of fun on the Sunday, but that's to be announced. But yeah, it's going to be kind of a weekend of crack in Dublin, I would say.
Yeah, and don't forget, a ticket to the Dublin Card Show makes a perfect Christmas present.
Wow, Jason, listen, wow. You're wasted on this podcast. You are wasted. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, good. Let's get into Hobby HQ.
Okay.
The big news of the hobby this week was the release yesterday of Topps Chrome Disney 100 Years of Wonder. Enzo, what do you think of Disney? Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow. For the listener, Enzo just revealed...
There's no listener. Watch it on YouTube.
Huh? There are listeners.
No, but I'm telling them YouTube is on your phone. Listen, I think it's crazy not to start with 12-12.
Pull the car over. Pull the car over and get YouTube out.
Yeah. 12-12 was the whole Bowman thing. We're not an American podcast.
12.
Tom Brady as an MLB player, all that promotion. Listen,
the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, my opinion on that very quick is shout out to the advertisement of the hobby that's going on by Fanatics. We appreciate that. That's great. We're not baseball guys, famously. We're not American NFL guys. Put Brady in MLB. Great. Wonderful. Right. But that's not, we don't care about that.
Can I just say, I'm slightly worried about how much Tom Brady is appearing in all of the Fanatics advertising.
He's friends with Michael Rubin.
I know, but it seems...
And I think he's retired now, and he doesn't like spending time with his family, so he's getting involved.
Well, I think, yeah.
It's not about happening. He retired, then he unretired, won another Super Bowl because he didn't want to spend too much time with
his... Yeah, I think he retired, and then his wife left him or something. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to say to Tom Brady, like, you know, take some time to yourself if you need it.
Yeah, chill. Thank you for all the heavy lifting you're doing in the hobby, but...
I really appreciate it, but, like, don't, you know... nearly a day off for Tom Brady at the moment. So just, you know, get this Bowman thing done. Wonderful ad campaign. You're fantastic. So funny. And, you know, you could have been an actor, no doubt. But maybe just take some time over the holidays to see the family and decompress. That's all. Go ahead.
I would spend more time talking about that, but the 101 Super Factor autograph was hit day one. So we're moving past it. All right. Disney Chrome.
Wait, what 101 Super Factor? Who's one? Who?
The Tom Brady Expo 101.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, if Mickey Mouse gets pulled day one, Jason, that'll be... Okay, you know what? Cut all the shit. A lot of people seeing all this. I want you to... What does the 101 Mickey Mouse Super Factor go for on Golden Auction in your best Ken Golden... I don't know.
The 101 Mickey Mouse Super Factor...
Here's... To preface it.
Yeah.
Disney is obviously a huge IP. Joking aside.
Yeah.
Topps Chrome... There's a reason Fanatics bought Topps, and part of that was the Topps Chrome brand and just the company brand. You can have the licenses, but if you don't have the Topps Chrome or the Panini Prism, you lose a lot of the value, right? Like, that's the case. That's, like, with all due respect to Futera, they have official licenses, but people want the Topps Chrome, whatever, you know. So what does, taking the IP of a Disney license and making
it,
and taking the kind of IP, I suppose, of Topps Chrome, the branding, what does a one-of-one Mickey Mouse, Jason... Because you're famous, you're not a big Pokemon guy.
No, I'm not a Pokemon guy.
So, but are you a Disney guy? And tell me what you think this little sailor in a one-of-one Super Factor might do on the open market. The Disney collectors, would they go crazy for this? What's going on? What's happening? What's your opinion?
I'm just looking at the checklist here, and Mickey Mouse is appropriately number one on the checklist.
Who else? Now, fairness, I'm a Donald Duck man. Not even going to lie. He's my favorite.
You're a Donald Duck man. I'll tell you what number Donald Duck is on the checklist.
I think he's 57.
I'm struggling to find him here. I don't think they've given... He's 86.
Persona. 86, sorry. I was way off.
So anyway, I think the Mickey Mouse Super Factor printed autograph.
Not the autograph, just the regular normal card, the absolute number one, no insert, no autograph. Don't change the rules.
Okay, let me think.
We're talking about the iconic Mr. Yeah. Mickey Mouse in a one, his first ever one of one top scrum super factor, which apparently means something. Yeah. You know? So tell me what you think. And again, I think PSA 10 say it got a gem mint, the gem mint.
Right.
For example.
I think if it sells within the next 12 months,
yes,
I think it will sell for 40,000 dollars.
It's a six-figure card. No, I don't know. I don't know. I thought you were going to say 5,000. I was about to say I'm pretty sure it'll be higher than that. I don't know anything.
I just thought more than 10,000, less than 50,000.
That was your thinking.
That was my thinking. Obviously. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know who the collector base is for that. But then there are cards that go for loads. We saw, you know, there's vintage cards. There's all sorts of stuff that goes for mad money all the time. And you know, I don't know the collector base for that. And what you quickly find out is, yeah, you don't know every collector in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. I am interested. I think that'll be a fun one. I'm not going to give my prediction. I'd rather you go out on that ledge by yourself.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
I'm excited to look back at that when it eventually sells.
Well, that's not fair. We've nothing to compare you to.
Well, the 101 Donald Duck will go for a minimum of 30,000 because I am putting a bounty. No, I'm not.
Take that back quickly.
I take it back quick. Collector guru will go.
Breaking news: Soccer Cards United put bounty on Donald Duck Super Factor.
I actually didn't. Okay, for the record, that's all.
Yeah.
Listen, the Disney IP. I think it's a bit of fun. I'm happy it came out pre-Christmas. I think that's fun. Hopefully, it's delivered pre-Christmas. People can rip it. I think. I don't know. I think the timeline.
Can I just say on Collectible Guru?
Yeah.
I saw somebody put out a tweet the other day, like. At Collectible Guru, cease and desist. I am giving you 2 days to take my video down from your channel or you will be hearing from your lawyers. And I'm like, I would love for somebody to share our content. People don't know how good they have it.
I would get Paul Lesko as my hobby lawyer. That's what I would do.
But I wouldn't mind.
No, I know. I don't think your man has a lawyer. I don't know. Great. Don't worry about that, Chase. Please.
All right.
I don't know. I think it looks fun. It came out at an okay price, €175. That's about.
It's performing okay on the resale market.
Performing very well on the resale market.
Yeah.
I think 24,000 boxes made was the calculation from the checklist. So decent print run, not mm-hmm. too big, not too small. I think it's good. I don't know. I mean, I'm into it. I want to open a box. It wouldn't be like for me as a collectible necessarily. To be honest, I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Collecting it, I don't. Like I collect sports cards mainly. I'm not really pivoting from that. I've opened some Star Wars, some Stranger Things. It's cool, it's fun, but it's not for me as a collectible. It's not in my PC. Although, yeah. To be honest, I will try to get a Donald Duck, even if it's a base card, just as a PC card. I think that'd be cool.
Because mm-hmm.
I do famously have some Squirtle PC, so I'd like Pokemon, but that's kind of a different. I don't know. I think it was fun. It was unexpected.
I'm just looking here at the... Sorry, if I could just...
Yeah.
I'm looking here at the checklist. I think some of the Seven Dwarfs are on it, but not all of the Seven Dwarfs.
Wow.
And when you think about it, I mean, that's tough. How do you decide which Seven Dwarfs are on it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of work put into the checklist, you're saying.
Yeah. Well, listen,
this is what I'll say, because there is also a lot of people who are kind of coming out talking about Kakao, which I witnessed a lot happening during the year when Kakao came out.
Yeah.
Which, of course, took the hobby by storm for what seemed like a couple of weeks. Multiple weeks, actually, especially when PSA came out and said, we will grade this stuff. We're actually going to grade it. And then it took a huge... People were like, it's legitimate. They went to the moon. I think Kakao bodes well for Disney Chrome. I don't think the stance of we came out first is going to win. Simply because... Kakao had the license, but they didn't... If Panini weren't in a million lawsuits, they would have sued Kakao for copying the Panini Prism style.
Yes, yeah. The legal department at Panini is slightly overextended, but if it hadn't have been...
Yeah. Then the whole PSA coming out being like, we'll grade this stuff. Kind of like Kakao was... Like, why was Kakao accepted? Whereas, like, that guy with on-card Haaland autos wasn't fully respected in the hobby. And it's like, it was accepted probably because the Disney IP is massive.
Because Mickey Mouse, yeah.
Because Mickey Mouse. So for Topps to kind of get that... Obviously, they have the later release than that. They still managed to get 100-year anniversary.
Just about, by the
way. Year, just about. People are saying the boxes look the same, but I'm pretty sure that's just the Disney 100 color.
I can tell you, I was just at Disney World.
Yeah, is that the color you're seeing?
Every single piece of Disney 100 is that color.
Platinum color, okay. Yeah. So yeah, like for me, I don't know. I think, in fairness, if you're someone who invested in Kakao, have a lot of cases on the shelf or have big PSA 10s, you're probably freaking out. You're probably a bit fucked.
Yeah.
Or you're probably trying to battle saying, this is the king, this is the king, this is it, da da da.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The reaction's been positive. Disney is not our forte. We're not a Disney podcast, but I thought it was fun, cool. Fun pre-Christmas, I think. I expect a lot of people to kind of open it with their kids. They're kind of opening Topps Chrome where maybe their kids aren't into baseball or soccer or whatever, but they want to open Topps Chrome. That's what I'm thinking. I definitely want to open one for Christmas if they come. And yeah, I don't know. 5 per person on the website as well. So I don't know. It was interesting. It was an interesting drop. I think it'll do well. It is doing well.
We should say that they were a European exclusive.
Yeah, which was a Topps Chrome European exclusive.
Might be the first time we've seen a Topps Chrome European exclusive.
I believe so, yeah.
So as Europeans, it's cool. Like that. Yeah.
We bought 5 on the drop as well, straight from France. But it was even, what was I about to say?
I don't know.
I lost it.
All right. No worries.
I lost it, Jason. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
There are facsimile autographs.
Facsimile? Look at that. I've never heard it pronounced like that, Jason.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know who they. I guess there's like an accepted Disney autograph for every character.
Yeah. I've Googled that. There's an official Disney autograph for every character.
Mm. Do you know what? Who should Disney. Get one of those? Is Leo Messi. Why does Donald Duck have an official autograph, but Lionel Messi doesn't? Clip it.
Clip it there. I don't think, no. Let's just say, we're not starting the 200s. I don't think we're starting the 200s with a Baron. So, Joa, I want you to increase the quality of our podcast to a point where Collectible Guru would steal our content. And share it. Not share it. Steal. Share. Sorry. No, not going to happen.
No.
New year, new you. What's your New Year's resolution? Don't mind Disney.
I don't have a New Year's resolution yet.
That definitely happened last year. Like, you think there's nothing to fix.
I'm not really, you know...
not one for self-improvement?
No. I like to enjoy my Christmas. I mean, I don't sit at the Christmas table sweating, wondering, how am I going to improve all this? I say, what another great year.
Wow.
You know?
Another vintage year in the books.
Wow, another classic year.
I was going to say with Disney, I think the reason it was EU exclusive was licensing. I think Upper Deck has the US Disney license, Kakao Asian Disney license. So I think that's the reason for that.
Okay.
That's definitely some fanatics, gangster stuff, being able to figure that out and be like, oh, we get the European license and we can create still.
Yes.
That's a big brain. But no, do you think that's going to lead to other big licenses coming that are non-sports?
I think it will. We've seen there are entertainment cards, and the problem with them, but one of the things about them is having opened a good bit of Star Wars.
Mickey Mouse can't do his ACL. No, I'm joking.
Mickey Mouse can't do his ACL.
Wow.
But in terms of, like, I found you open a box and it doesn't really have the same chase aspect.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, nothing in the same way that Mickey, people, here's a hot take for you. People always talk about, oh, Mickey Mouse can't do his ACL. It's like, yeah, but Mickey Mouse also can't score a goal in the Champions League final.
Wow.
People only ever talk about that in the negative, but it's like, yeah, but that's not really the reason. You don't just buy a load of cards of a prospect and then go like, oh, I hope he doesn't get injured. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, I hope these don't diminish in value. You hope they increase in value because he's going to go on to, you know.
Two different things,
I've
opened, like, I watch Stranger Things. I like Stranger Things. I've opened a few boxes and it was kind of fun, but not, I could open Topps Chrome at Champions League all day.
The repeatability of it.
So that's the thing with this one that's kind of hard to know. You could argue this is the biggest entertainment product released from Topps, maybe.
Yeah.
Because of the IP. But it's like, I guess we just won't know until it's been opened. What's the feeling going to be? Are people going to feel empty, or are they going to be like, this is class?
But then I do think this is a product that presents itself. I'm just thinking about how we would collect soccer. Like, we wouldn't be big set collectors or, you know, apart from a couple of examples, wouldn't be big for completing rainbows and stuff like that. So,
but do you think people will buy into breaks taking the Donald Duck slot, for example?
They might do, like they might want to get the Donald Duck rainbow or something like that. Whereas this is kind of something that lends itself to kind of pure card collecting as opposed to prospecting and speculating, I think.
I think a lot of the value might be putting it on the shelf and wait. 100 year anniversary, first Topps Chrome Disney. But to be honest, I don't even want to talk about it in an investment point of view necessarily. I think this is kind of something where it's like, if you open it with your kids for Christmas, it might get them into the hobby. That's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe your kid's not into baseball, not into sports, but they open a Topps Chrome Disney and then they're like, they know what a super factor is. If they're lucky, they know what a parallel, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the reaction to it was fairly positive. It was cool to have European exclusive. I'd love to see that with a soccer set, like a Topps Chrome something soccer. I don't know. Yeah, it was cool. I threw on some fanfare after seeing you in Disneyland. I wanted to get involved.
Yeah. No, you look great.
There you go.
What was I going to say? Just one last thing on it was, if I can remember. Oh, yeah. Like for us, say, being at Dublin Comic Con or the upcoming Dublin Card Show, this is kind of another
branching
constituency set that you can bring the hobby into. Like, you know, we had like the Upper Deck Marvel annual cards at Comic Con. And people were coming up and they were like, oh, okay, I'll take the Wolverine, Spider-Man, and the Cyclops, and the Spider-Man, please. Because it's just, you know, card collecting in general is something that appeals to a lot of people, but it has to be the right thing. And sometimes it feels like keep getting new licenses, keep going into new categories is a bit dangerous because it kind of dilutes what we're doing kind of in the hardcore sports side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at what point does it just become like, you know, you can get a t-shirt with anything on it. I don't know. I feel sometimes a tension between wanting this to be kind of a niche, high-end, collectible hobby and then wanting it to have mass appeal. It's tough. It's a tough balance.
Yeah. Like, I think if you're collecting the people, I feel like, to be honest, the people collecting the high-end versions of these cards, whether it's a Super Factor, 101, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, whatever, I feel like they're going to be more so card collectors than Disney collectors because I don't think Disney collect, like, you need to know what a super factor is, you need to know the significance of that to chase it. So I feel like big baseball collectors or soccer collectors, whatever, will be the ones probably buying that or raising the price on it.
Yeah,
but I do think at some point, I guess that's the unknown. Like, would someone who collects hardcore Disney stuff look at a 101 super factor and say, I want it?
Well, I suppose
there's definitely crossover between like baseball card collectors and people that are also fanatical about stuff like Disney.
Yeah, and we saw, just like looking at the Disney 100 stuff, there's Lego for Disney 100, there's
Crystal, what do you call those things?
Yeah, Swarovski crystal figurines, there's cameras that are from Leica that are Disney. There's all sorts of mad stuff going on.
Yeah, it's kind of I think it's, especially at the end of the year, it's easy to kind of go, Disney 100, whatever. But like, that's kind of the thing, it's like, yeah, but in 3 years, that could be super collectible. Disney 100, like that's not going to happen again for 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, I liked when they brought out Topps Pearl for the 30th anniversary, the Pearl anniversary of the Champions League.
But that didn't necessarily hold value as a 30-year anniversary.
No, I agree, because I'm not really sure what the significance of... Whatever, we can talk about that. I mean, in general, I'm just becoming more and more, I would say, obsessed with the idea of non-repeatable products.
Yes. Like, for example, like I have the 25th anniversary Ultra Premium Collection of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I just bought, like, I don't buy a lot of Pokemon cards, but I bought a few of those boxes when they came out because I was like, the collectability of this, because I had seen the 20-year, they did a 20-year set.
Yeah.
And I think that you might hit it on the button in saying the non-repeatability of it.
Yeah.
You add a 100-year anniversary, guess what? December's almost over. You cannot create that again.
Yeah.
Ha! You know?
Like, we see, like, that's why, like, first years of, even, like, first year EPL Prism, has more significance. Like, you often see a card, you're looking at an EPL card, somebody's showing you, and they go, that's first year, and you go, ooh. Because that is just an arbitrary way to say you can't repeat this, because every other year, second year is just repeat your first year, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there are some interesting kind of hobby threads to be pulled out from this Disney release, but we're not going to be doing the
full set. Not going to be pulling it, but I think we'll be watching it with interest.
For sure, yeah.
And we'll probably get an opening up on YouTube when they are eventually here.
Absolutely.
I get to do it, maybe. Or maybe you do. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't mind.
Maybe you do.
I was looking at the checklist and I was like,
a lot of them you didn't know.
I could kind of tell. I was like, I could tell what year the characters were from based on if I knew them or not. I had a pretty good stretch from like the 1940s up to about like 2008. And I'm just like, I don't know who this guy is. Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting. I feel like it's a good family open if you can get it pre-Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's no, I agree. I agree.
Whether it'll go up in value long term, I'm not the guy to.
We're not going to make any guarantees.
No, fair.
Not, this is not this podcast is not investment advice.
No, never has been. But that was a fun. They teased it for a while. A lot of people had high expectations. People, a lot of people are saying, "Are they going to do the darts?" It's like Topps Chrome.
They're going to do the darts.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted the darts. A lot of the Germans wanted the darts. I don't know if there's a young German prospect in the darts.
Wow.
I don't know. People wanted the darts. Not to be, Jason.
Not to be the darts. Mm. That's great. I'd love to go to darts. I don't even like darts. But this would just be a fun, like... Panini are doing a lot of that stuff at the minute. They're getting, like, they got EuroLeague basketball.
Yeah, they're getting whatever licenses
they got the Greek Super League for the football. Yeah. We're going to have Pauk and Olympiakos and all this stuff.
They're saying we have Panini Prism. So if we get licenses, we can create relevant things. Makes sense.
But what frustrates me is...
The French League.
About Fanatics and Panini is, like, what's taking you so long?
Yeah.
Because I've just been milking the main licenses for ages, and it's only now that you're in a fierce kind of battle for survival that you're taking an interest. It's like you could have been, if you had been focused on growth and research and development while you had market share, you wouldn't be in this position.
In this mess. Wow. Yeah, I do think like the French League not having premium cards is a complete disgrace.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you do it now, I'm not even going to pat you on the back. I'm like, you're 3, 4, 5 years late.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Sure, like at the end of the day, they only made Serie A products in 2020. Like they're not exactly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. On the wall. No. Did you see all this stuff about Lionel Messi's jerseys?
Yeah, the auction.
The auction, exactly.
Yeah, it's a disgrace we didn't open the show with that, by the way. I think that's mad.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's one jersey missing. Did you find that out?
I didn't. I'll just have a quick look here through this article.
His game-used jersey versus Poland is the only one not part of the set.
Right.
He had, so my understanding of it, he had signed up with these people pre-tournament to say his first half kit of every game he's going to donate to these people.
Okay.
And of course, him going on to win the entire World Cup meant that it was one of the most iconic game-used jerseys ever. Six of them are being auctioned instead of seven, which I don't understand. Maybe something happened with that first half jersey of Messi versus Poland. Wasn't a vintage game, maybe, but then they have the Saudi Arabia one, so I don't understand. I don't understand. I think it was Poland, wasn't it?
An undisclosed portion of the proceeds going to the Unicast project with the Leo Messi Foundation for children with rare diseases. Very good.
There you go.
Very nice. Yeah, so the top one, let's see here. The bids has attracted as high as $6.5 million by 3 p.m. on Wednesday with 26 hours to go. If the lot attracts over $10.1 million, it will be the record price for sports tops, eclipsing the $10.091 million paid last year for a jersey worn with Michael Jordan in Game 1 of the 1998 NBA Finals. It would also become the most expensive football kit ever sold if they go for more than the £7 million paid for the shirt worn by Diego Maradona in the Hand of God game. So, very exciting.
Is that over now?
I don't think. I think it's still going.
Lock closed. Today at 5 p.m., an hour ago, Jason.
And what's it at right now?
It says log in to view results.
Oh, come on.
Has the collectibles guru tweeted about it?
Come on.
Come on. He can't be that. He's not. I feel like he's not even on time. That's the worst part. Messi jersey. This is not going to go well. I'm sure Twitter doesn't type Messi jersey that much. Oh, here we go. Oh,
yeah.
The winning bid. Thank you. This is Darren Ravel.
Oh, Darren Ravel. By the way, one of the OG
copy
reporters. Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Just saying, the winning bid, including virus premium at Sotheby's for a 6 Messi game-worn Argentina jersey during the 2022 World Cup is $7.8 million.
Hmm.
This thing, I don't know if you see. Do you see in the photo, Jason? I don't know if you have of the six of them kind of displayed in that kind of wall display.
No,
Let me look at you.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
In like a wall display where it shows which game they're from. Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I don't know why that one is missing. If you're the buyer of this, you're now on the hunt for Messi versus Poland game used jersey, like a motherfucker. And like, it's not the most significant jersey even to have, but it's like you want to have seven, surely.
Although seven would present an issue because how do you display seven evenly?
You put the final
In the center.
Yeah. Or you above. Kind
of a spoken wheel scenario.
Yeah, you can't own six of like his set. Like, if he didn't play one of the games, fine. But, like, that's like, that is one of the sickest and coolest things I've seen in my life.
That's amazing.
Like, that is, like, holy shit. If I ever become... You'll probably never be able to buy that again, to be honest. It'll probably never come up for sale again, depending on who got it.
Mm.
It is so fucking... I'm not even a big jersey collecting guy, but, like, Jesus fucking Christ. You'd want that display wherever you're displaying it. Like, you wouldn't even want to...
Well, it's that's a tough one because it's so valuable that it's like,
what do you do?
What do you do with it? Yeah. You don't want to lock it away. You want to show everyone that you have it, but at the same time,
you know, I think you have to find, I don't know why no one has talked about the fact that one of them is missing. That's crazy. Yeah. It's like having I don't know, an entire collection of one of one, like a full, like you've completed the set, but they're all one of one, but you're missing one of them. It's like,
you're
missing the off 99 of a rainbow.
Yeah. It's not
go
even...
and get it.
Yeah,
go and get it. What are you doing?
What happened?
I don't know. It was the one against Poland. I don't know. Like in fairness, maybe his first. So he gave it to someone maybe a half time, and I went, "Oh fuck, I forgot."
Shit. Yeah.
That's gone. Fuck. I only wore one jersey. Fuck. That might happen. You might have given it to like Lewandowski. I don't know. Was it Poland? Am I wrong? Why can't I remember that game? That was the game maybe Enzo Fernandez scored. Maybe?
It was Poland, yeah. He didn't... Szczesny save a penalty in that game.
Yeah. That was one of... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure, yeah.
It's Australia, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, Holland, Croatia, and France.
Yeah, so it's missing Poland.
No Poland.
Which is just a friendly group game. Like, it's not a fucking... Like, if you're missing the final, it's like, yeah, you couldn't get your hands on the final. It is what it is.
I tell you what, I will try and find out what happened to that jersey, and I will report back on Monday's podcast.
Brilliant. Can you do a post on Twitter that says breaking news and then explain it? No?
I can do, yeah.
I want to know.
All right.
But like, if you're him, Jason, you're spending your entire life trying to find that jersey, surely.
Well, at least why you mad. I'm not a big memorabilia guy, so I probably wouldn't.
I mean, I would keep it, the final jersey, sell the rest, maybe. If I couldn't complete it,
you'd break up the collection. If you couldn't,
if someone told me there was no way of ever getting the Poland one, I would rather just have the final than have them all.
Now,
I might look at which game do I consider. Like, I'd get rid of the Saudi Arabia one. Like, you lost that game, and I'm not getting.
Well, surely you'd sell that to a Saudi Arabian.
Yeah.
He's now I'm thinking like a dealer.
Yeah, now you're thinking. I'll flip the Saudi Arabia one.
Yeah, cover the
cost of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
That's the way you do it. Right. I think that's everything for today's show. A short and sweet one.
Just Disney, basically. Disney and Messi.
Disney and Messi.
IPs of the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Top IP only.
For the people, how are you? Yeah. What are you doing? Where are you? What's going on?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Why?
Because my girlfriend is at a work conference, and she was like, do you want to come and hang around? And I was like, yeah.
That's fair enough. I seen you in Disneyland. Were you there by yourself?
No, I was there with her on Saturday.
Okay, snuck it in.
That was is Disney World Magic Kingdom. I went to the Magic Classic. There's four parks I learned, and it's a non-transferable ticket, so you have to pick what park it is. And
Jesus.
Yeah, it's... Oh, by the way...
So you have to visit
four
times kind of thing?
No, like, so there's Magic Kingdom, there's Animal Kingdom, there's Hollywood Studios, and there's Epcot. And if you want to go to any of them, you have to book an individual ticket. You can't, like, there's no...
Yeah, if you wanted to do them all, you'd have to book it for...
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, wow. Yeah. I mean, I think there are multi-passes, but I was only going one day and whatever. Anyway, when Disney came out yesterday, probably I was...
I've been
slightly changed by my Disney World experience. Mm. And when it came out yesterday, I was like, and people were like, I don't know about this. I was like, I know about this.
This is going to be good.
Yeah. Seeing the stuff, there's like everything is like, and it's packed and people are just spending money hand over fist. It's nothing to worry about as far as I'm concerned. I thought about how much money I had spent in Disney World, and I'm not even a big Disney guy.
Yeah. You're like, this isn't, people will buy this box.
Yeah, people like, €175 is a bit steep. I'm like, that's the price of a hot dog in Disney World.
Did you see any of the big faces in Disneyland?
did I see any of the big faces?
Donald Duck, was he there?
I didn't see Donald Duck. Who did I see? I saw Aladdin and Jasmine.
I love Aladdin.
You like that film?
Oh, brilliant.
And
rags to riches. He's a hustler. He'd be flipping boxes, no doubt.
Yeah. He would have been like...
Aladdin be flicking through dollar boxes, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, Aladdin at this stage would have been through sneakers, sports cards, crypto...
Rugs. And I said rugs.
Oh, you said... Rugs. Yeah.
Rugs, yeah. They do carpets and all. Magic carpet. Not drugs.
I thought you said drugs.
Come on, don't...
And I was like, don't tarnish it's our
Disney.
Reputation here.
It's Disney. Come on.
So anyway, so I went there, and then Mickey on Mouse. Monday I went.
Who did you see? Jasmine and Aladdin. That's it.
Oh, Jasmine and Aladdin. Then I saw the guys from Winnie the Pooh.
You mean Pooh Bear?
Pooh Bear, Piglet, Eeyore, Tigger.
Eeyore's crazy. That fella is depressed off his head 24. I don't know how he's. I don't understand that. How that got approved?
Well, it's based on a book.
Yeah, but why is he depressed?
That's just how he is.
He doesn't have a tail. I bet you connected most with him as a child. Jesus.
Oh, I actually had to take a picture with Eeyore because many members of my family, I was a big Winnie the Pooh fan when I was a little boy. And since then, because everyone in my family is familiar with Winnie the Pooh's kind of mythology, they have, sometimes I'm called Eeyore by, this is real.
Your family call you a donkey? Wow.
Not a donkey, one specific donkey.
Oh, sorry. My
apologies. The donkey from Winnie the Pooh.
Did you see Dumbo?
I didn't see Dumbo, no.
My family relate me to Dumbo.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
He can fly. Or is that Peter Pan?
Oh, that's Dumbo as well.
That's Dumbo as well. I saw a big fireworks show at the end of the day. That was very, it was good.
Did you pick up any little Disney-related gifts?
I did, yeah.
Like little trinkets and little... They got you basically in the gift shop, the Disney gift shop.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
So...
Did you see any Lorcana in Disney by any chance?
I didn't.
Okay, interesting.
Didn't come up. I also went to see an NBA game on Monday.
Yeah, we've seen that.
We saw that on the social media.
The L Tour or the L Instagram, yeah.
That was good fun.
When are you back? Are you having a good time? Are you safe?
I'm very safe.
Relate Orlando to Chicago and Atlantic City.
It's like family Atlantic City. Like it's
instead of people spending at the slots, they're spending at like the Winnie the Pooh, make your own honey kind of slot.
Yeah,
fascinating.
So and instead of you know your drinks being included with your spend at the blackjack table, joy is included with your spend at the gift shop.
100 years of joy, or
100 years
of
wonder. Yeah.
Wow.
And there's also I saw a very strange presentation. In Disney World called the Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress. And it's basically this thing that Walt Disney built in in like 1964 for the World's Fair in New York. And it shows like the advancement of technology from like the turn of the century all through the 100 Years of Wonder. And bit dicey. Some of the stuff that he kind of puts off as progress. He's like, well, it's 1920 and I just don't think life could get any better. And it's he's like, America's truly the most progressive country in the world here in 1950. And I'm just like, oh, how is this still going? But anyway, this was good fun. And
I'd love you to have a carousel of progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. 200 episodes of the podcast. Can you put it together?
There's something for the Dublin Card Show. The Dublin Card Show Carousel of Progress. From Match Attacks to
Disney.
To Disney, yeah.
We put Disney on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, that's the height of progress.
Wow.
There
we have it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time there.
Yeah, I should do. And I'm back in the studio on Monday, so
wow,
go straight too far.
Listen, I'm around. I'm not going on any late holidays before Christmas. No way.
No way.
No, it's too late now. You picked a good time.
I got in just under the wire. Unlike Top Scrum Disney.
Wow. Yeah, Jason, it's great to see you. I need to head out.
All right, well, we'll call it a day. Thank you to everyone listening. Don't forget to get your Dublin Card Show tickets if you haven't already, and hit subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. And talk to you next week.
Go on, Jason. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.